The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 22, Responsibility and Development. When the priestesses were distributing the duties between us, Isis said, "Every duty that will be assigned to you is your responsibility, even if it is small, but by taking it on yourself, you will help God to manifest on earth, and you'll get divine help. The mentors also have responsibilities. They do a lot more. Each of us is doing the best effort we can. We strive to help the students, inspire them, and pass on knowledge. At the same time, we are also moving along the spiritual path and developing to get closer to the teacher's level." "Yes, I understand," I nodded and exclaimed fervently. "I feel that I can do more, and I really want to help the school." Isis smiled. "The teacher says that those who want to take responsibility should be encouraged." She said, "Display of activity and initiative is great, and we must do everything in our power to shine like the sun." I thought about it. I wanted so much to tell about my recent experience, about how I felt when the teacher's voice resounded in the mountains with a booming echo. His words still rang in my head. "Who will understand me?" "You know," I began, choosing my words carefully to express my impressions as accurately as possible, "it seems to me that so few people are able to perceive what the teacher wants to give them. And I feel like I can. I feel that it's I who can really understand." After that, I told the priestess in detail about the episode on the mountain walk with the teacher. And now I was looking at Isis waiting for her comment. But the priestess was silent, staring deep into my eyes. "The teacher has taken responsibility for the whole world," she said at last. "And he has a great need to share the knowledge. But you are right. Not every student can take this knowledge. The teacher has been waiting for you for a long time. The one who will be able to hear it. And your desire to help deserves all the support and encouragement." "But what happened to me then on the steep mountain path?" I asked, after listening to Isis's words. "Why was I able to completely conquer my fears in an instant and easily overcome the obstacles that had recently seemed difficult to me?" "You tuned into him," Isis said, smiling. "You received some of his energy. If we tune in to the teacher, we change greatly. The person becomes somewhat filled and glows. And as soon as the person tunes out, they already become meaningless and can fall even lower than before the meeting with the teacher and begin to degrade." "So it means that being tuned in to the teacher is bad? Is there a danger of returning to a previous state and falling even lower?" "What a conclusion! How can it be bad if it is only through getting tuned in to the teacher that the transformation of a person begins? Of course, there is a danger of returning to a meaningless state if you give free rein to your laziness, selfishness, and pride. But this is where we need to consciously work in the right direction. You need to realize what a treasure God has given in your life and hold on to the teacher at all costs. Only in this way it is possible to develop your potential given by God and become a perfect being, happy and completely free from suffering. And the fall of a person even lower is due to the fact that first he loses the power that led him, and he needs to make incredible efforts that the teacher did for us before. And second, undoubtedly, it is the law of karma. After all, insulting the teacher, even mentally, leads a person to degradation, while communication with the teacher and serving him makes it possible to progress very quickly and purify the heavy karma of all your generations. And that makes us completely free. It makes us superhumans. So it's quite the opposite. Getting tuned in to the teacher is good, but we shouldn't stop our development and work on ourselves for a minute. The more we become gods, the better we get. And then, if we pull away from all the voices in our head and think, what would the teacher say? What is written in clever books? And if we actively follow the path of spiritual development, we can easily find the right answers to all questions, and we gradually form the right reactions. That is, it is not a passive presence nearby, but a conscious work on ourselves that helps us to change qualitatively. So, we must consciously be tuned in to the teacher? Of course, the more we are connected with the school, with the teacher, the more we receive special energy that we must use for active spiritual development. And we should always be the first to rush to any job. For example, take the stop exercises. You're doing them, and one of you starts to sit down quickly and gets up quickly. You are afraid that they will say, "Stop!" And you'll have to stand in an uncomfortable position. Isis chuckled kindly. But that's easy after all. You're not being shaken upside down. So, we don't need to be afraid? I asked with a smile, imagining this picture. No. The priestess shook her head. You need to be ready to work on yourself. Then, enlightenment will come faster. And if we hide from God, then enlightenment will go slowly, and we may not have time to develop and use the chance that God gave us in this life. Looking further ahead, I want to say that literally less than a year has passed since I witnessed such a transformation through Svetlana's example, which I had mentioned earlier. I remember that one day, one of the mentors came to the meeting with the teacher and spoke very emotionally about what had happened there over the past month. "Can you imagine, dear teacher?" she began her story. "Do you remember I told you about a student who came to us from the same flow as Roxana? Roxana must remember her. Svetlana often asked about her, where she was, and why they were in different groups. Although they left the seminar together, they came to study from one seminar. Svetlana was downtrodden, her head was a mess, and her eyes was a complete emptiness, meaningless. And so she arrived and quickly got tuned in to the teacher. She became full, active, her eyes lit up. We couldn't even believe it was the same person. So dramatic was the change. So, this new active image did not fit in with the way of life that the student had led in the past. She was at the very bottom of the heap, talking to drunks and homeless people. She was not interested in anything. She was absolutely empty and did not strive for anything. For a while, she actively helped, performed tasks of the power, and everyone thought that she had changed. But it turned out that her true essence remained the same. The one that was captured in her passport photo. And from the black and white photo, a sick person with a poker face was looking at us. In her eyes, there was not even a hint of enlightenment, a smart mind and knowledge. They were empty and meaningless. So, it is not the person who has changed. It's just that the woman had a bit of the teacher in her for a while. Nothing more. And how did that become obvious? I asked. I felt a sudden surge of compassion for the woman I knew, even if only superficially. I don't know why, but I felt responsible for her. Sun trine Uranus, and Uranus means a sudden upheaval, a change. The mentor replied, "These aspects bring about an overthrow, a fall from a height. And so, this unfortunate student overthrew herself. She was offended by the teacher. She couldn't cope with her inner negativity. She wondered how she, whose mother had always told her that she was a good girl, could have been offended. After all, when she ran around as a little girl and hit her foot on a chair, her mother would say, 'The chair is bad, hit it once more.' Now instead of this chair, there was the teacher." "You mean Svetlana's childhood reactions surfaced again?" "Exactly. In her immature essence, in her bloated, senseless, false personality, in her clumsy and stiff self. And so she raged all night. And in the morning, when we turned on the light, we didn't recognize her anymore. In front of us was here again this poker face, as in the passport, a dull, empty look. Since the teacher's particle that she had inside her had disappeared, Svetlana became again the same as she had been before. So she fell into insignificance." I felt the teacher's eyes on me. He looked at me for a few seconds And then he said, "So, Roxana will arrange for her to go home. It is important to do this now, before she completely spoils her karma." It sounded like a thunder, but I knew that since the sage had said it, it was the right thing to do, and I had to do it. The sunset quickly gave way to twilight, and soon the fire was the only source of light. We sat around it and watched the flames dance. It seemed like I could do it forever. In the silence that followed, I could hear the crackle of burning twigs, sending thin trails of sparks into the air. The teacher's voice, breaking the silence, was mesmerizing. It was strict, but at the same time, gentle. There was strength, energy, and all-encompassing love in it. God sends spiritual teachers to people for a reason, he said. If a person could develop independently, even Christ or Buddha would not be needed. Without Christ, there would have been no apostles. There would be no church. All people would be perfect. But this does not happen. And now, when 2,000 years have passed since the ascension of Christ, very few saints and enlightened ones have appeared. But why? Serena asked, cautiously expressing everyone's interest. Because there are very few people who can hear and understand them. He said calmly. With these words, the teacher looked in my direction, and I physically felt the hopes placed on me. But now, it was no surprise. I was ready for such a responsibility, to be one of those who can learn from the enlightened sage. I sincerely craved this knowledge and was ready to do anything to get it. Think about it, the teacher continued, and see how people actually spend their resources, their money, energy, and time. How much money is spent on various harmful things, and how little on something spiritual or on something really useful. Here, you are on the path of development, but this path is not easy. There are many obstacles to overcome, and the path of development cannot be stopped. You either evolve or regress. You cannot stop, quit practicing, and stay at the same level. The decline will certainly begin. At these words, I remembered Alek, Vera's nephew, who had turned away from the path of spiritual development and began to degrade before my eyes. I remembered what Alek was like before the trip to the Echo Village. His eyes were burning. He was doing sport, doing practices. But he could not stand the obstacles. He thought that he had already achieved something and fell victim to his own pride. Teacher, what are the most dangerous tests on this path? You already know that, the sage replied. Selfishness can reassure us that we are the greatest. But in reality, this will not be the case. And how many years do we need to learn to be able to say that we can do something? One of the students asked. I could not make out who it was, because all I could see was the teacher. I was catching on his every word. You all still need to grow for a long time, he said sternly, but without judgment. He was just stating a fact, and we all knew that he was absolutely right. None of you really knows anything yet. If we look at things realistically, it is terrible if a person who has studied for 4 or 5 years, or even less, thinks that they already know everything and can do it. This is not enough. It takes decades to really develop and be able to do something. The teacher helps to speed up this process at times, but you need conscious effort and a desire to follow the instructions. Therefore, you should observe yourself and note what hinders you along the way. And this can be laziness and self-conceit. You might think, well, I know I am good, but here I am told that I'm bad. Such thoughts are a direct path to degradation. When people think that they are good, they relax. They do not need to know anything anymore. They do not need to do anything about themselves. And all of the disgusting traits that are in every human being begin to come out. The things that people were trying so hard to hide. And why did we hide it? We know that people would not like it. And if we show it now, how will people react to us? They will turn their backs on us. So we have to monitor it even more closely and not let it manifest itself. We must watch ourselves carefully. Do you remember there used to be a sign in buses stating, conscience is the best inspector?
Yes, we do. Several voices were heard from different sides. Teacher, but in addition to the conscience, can't we rely on the support of each other to overcome inner obstacles?
Of course. Therefore, all who are beginning to follow the path of sadhana should support each other. But it is important to see your vices and be able to scold yourself in order to separate yourself from the lies in you. You should ask, say something bad about me, and then I will say something bad about you too. Let's not let each other die. And then brighten up by following that with, oh, how great! I have learned something about myself, and now I have something to work on. It should be such a wise state when we hear something bad about ourselves. But we do not take offense, but on the contrary, we strive to change something in ourselves faster. The teacher was talking, and I remembered my 24th birthday. At that time, I asked my guests to scold me, to tell me what they did not like about me. I was creating my last solar horoscope.
although I still did not quite understand why I wanted to ask for it. I felt this intuitively. I needed to learn the bad things about myself in order to wake up, to get a kind of incentive for spiritual development and improvement. There is no need to be afraid of the psychological discomfort. The teacher continued, "The weaker our condition, the more we fear it, and the more violent, assertive, and strong our state, the less our fear, the better and more joyful we become, and we begin to actively change." Then, at the birthday party, I was already under the influence of the teacher, although at that time I had never met him. But my mind was already beginning to readjust itself and prepare to meet him. Later, when I began to sort the numerous correspondences addressed to the teacher, I saw in one of the letters this verse: "O Guru, scold me more to knock the nonsense out of me." And the teacher then said that it was a very important and correct verse, because we often do not see the real state of things. We are trapped in a false personality, in our own selfish thoughts and ideas. So, tell me something bad. Tell me what I'm still doing wrong. I want to grow. Such a request already speaks of a high spiritual level of high development. The most important thing is to keep the right attitude as long as possible, the teacher said, because then it ends and we switch back into old patterns. This is the most dangerous moment. If people cannot develop, if they do not see anything in themselves, then how can they teach other people? An easy path to degradation. If people are active by themselves, then they study well and pass exams well. This way, they will grow, and the rest can begin to degrade in the captivity of a false personality. "What else is wrong with this false personality?" Serena asked. "If it manifests itself, it is very dangerous," the sage replied. "It means that we cannot manifest ourselves with flexibility in a situation and adapt. It may be difficult for us to praise the other. It will be difficult for us to be flexible in a way that will be beneficial for the common cause, not to mention other, more difficult situations. Because of a false personality, we will achieve nothing. It will be in our way all the time, and we do not need that." "So, we should completely forget about ourselves? To give up all the disgusting things that are in us?" "Yes," the teacher replied calmly. "You need to say to yourself, 'I do not exist. There is only the job. And if I exist, what is in me?'" Laziness, revenge, stupidity, resentment. And if we focus on this, The job will never be done. That is the main task. And I thought that now this idea was taken for granted. Although, just a few months before, it had been difficult to imagine how we could even strive for this. How could we completely forget about ourselves?
Teacher, but how do we do this if we do not want or are afraid to give up ourselves and our personal history?
The question that was asked was quite in tune with my thoughts.
I will tell you by personal example, the teacher said. At the very beginning of the path, I also had various temptations, and I often had thoughts instilled in me by society.
And how did you manage to get over them?
I was just watching them. I knew that these were not my thoughts and that I shouldn't listen to them, but tried to separate myself from them in every possible way. For example, I very vividly and painfully imagined how in old age I would constantly be ill, suffer, and be afraid of things. Somehow, I would live one life, and then an infinite number of lives, and there would be a war, a revolution, or something else. And then I thought, why is all this necessary? I would rather not care. I always imagined the worst first. I thought that life was unpredictable, and just as I achieved something, I could also lose. All these achievements are very shaky, but self-development and the spiritual path, these are the things that exist above the system, over stereotypes and over society. Our emotional seductions constantly lead us astray. But we need to be clear about what all this can lead to in the end.
And what other emotions can hinder and lead us astray?
The first is the fear of death. This instinct is very strong, and because of it, a person is ready to suffer in any condition, even to be chained to a galley. The second is the sexual instinct, which forces you to distract yourself from enlightenment. Sexual hormones constantly pull us in the other direction, in the direction of creating a family. The energy goes away, and as a result, the person becomes depleted, tortured, and does not understand anything. Another danger that awaits the novice students is the lack of attitude to long-term, constant work on themselves. There is such a thought that now we will be developing for a few days, and then we will relax in the old way. That is too bad. There should be such a thought as this. How many disgusting things are in me. It is necessary for me to grow, to change. How do I survive if so many bad things are in me? Those who went off the path have not seen that they have these things, that they prevent them from doing anything,
Because they start to put all that is disgusting in themselves first.
And the cause and the benefit come in second. And they can no longer enjoy this benefit for themselves anymore.
Teacher, and if it is difficult for us to see the disgusting in ourselves, how can we see it in other people?
That is right. In someone else's eye, you can see a speck of dust, while in your own, you cannot see a log. You need to strive to see the vices in yourself. And the easiest way to see them is through your fellow ones. Therefore, you do not need to run away from discomfort, but rather thank the people who show you what you need to work on. They expose your growth zone. That is, when it is important to accept it and start working with your vices.
If we can work on ourselves and learn to see the bad in ourselves, then we can help our fellows in spiritual work because they have processes similar to ours. Other people are also made of vices, just like ourselves. You can see this as you go through the practices, which is why they are so important. We should strive to help others. And if we try our best to observe what is wrong with us and see what is hindering us, this will eventually help us to manifest in a flexible way. For example, when someone reprimands us, there is resentment. So, this resentment prevents us from developing. Then, when a person comes to us asking for help in spiritual development, they can say something to us that will cause negative emotions in us, and we will not be able to manifest ourselves in a flexible way, support them in time, and the person will leave. Here is what happens. Negative emotions cannot help us.
I remembered about Alek, a student from our Novochebaksarsk. I decided to share my thoughts. He went to the Echo Village, and then he came back less than 2 weeks later, and he changed so much that no one could recognize him.
Alek raged, and it did not help him.
The teacher replied, and I was surprised that he immediately remembered this troubled Sathak. Does he remember every single student?
He has a big ego, the teacher continued. He imagined a lot, but a person should not imagine, but be able to act. And in this, he failed. He could not even bring himself to exercise in the morning. We can imagine a lot, but we cannot do even the smallest thing. To know is to act. Therefore, we must do what we say in order to be whole, to achieve everything. Do as much as possible. Just do, do, and do.
How does an ordinary person differ from a schizophrenic patient? I thought about it. Well, for example, a schizophrenic can have hallucinations, I said after a pause. He can hear voices, one of the students said. He does not adequately see the real world.
The teacher listened to our answers, and his lips flickered a mysterious smile of a wise man who knew much more than all of us put together. A schizophrenic understands that he is ill, and voices are whispering to him, forcing him to do this or that. But an ordinary person does not understand this. The voice, for example, begins to whisper, "You have been wronged. Mama knows you are a good boy." And then the person feels resentment, depression, discontentment, anger. There are stupid sufferings. When we feel sorry for ourselves, we are offended in vain. And there is the right suffering, when we overcome ourselves and all these negative thoughts and begin an active self-development. No one noticed that the fire had already burned out, and in its place was a handful of beautifully glowing coals that resembled charming precious stones. Then the teacher got up, and we got up from our seats after him. This meant that the conversation was over, and it was time to get ready for bed. This was how our amazing meetings with the teacher went. And each time after such a conversation, I was left with a feeling of deep contentment. I was overflowed with emotions. The whole world seemed surprisingly clear, understandable, and simple. I was happy that God had given me this opportunity to learn from Him. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.